Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by a friend of the show, comedian, you'll know him from Mott the Week and more, Andy Parsons, talking about life in lockdown, and our sport has been a bit of a saviour for him. You'll hear all of that. We also brought you Martin Kellner, as always, on a Friday with his pick of the sporting telly of the week. We also heard from Todd Macklin, a very interesting story of a late, great baseball star who sadly died earlier this week. And, of course, Mike Ward gave us his pick of the non-sporting TV. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Andy, how have you been? We spoke to you briefly on the birthday spread like yesterday evening,
That was fun. Yeah, I said to you, just getting over the excitement of Wednesday night. I'll talk about Tuchel in a minute, but I'm more concerned about, I don't know if you did this yesterday on the show, but these reports that the government may confiscate the assets of people like Usmanov and Roman Abramovich, which means the government could confiscate Chelsea, which will mean that we really will be back in the blue square in 5 years.
They might sell it off cheap. It'd be great. Idea. Confiscate Chelsea and then just give it to someone else. And so what would happen to it?
I had this idea that Jacob Rees-Mogg would be the manager. He's definitely suit, not tracksuit.
Yeah, thank and, you. I'd love to see Jacob Rees-Mogg. Well, actually, I wouldn't.
Not I'm really.
Don't care
and
either way.
I worry about our injury list if Matt Hancock's our physio.
Yeah. Matt, you nearly did the clip.
Good spoonerism
you?
There.
You
nearly did the one, didn't I?
Yeah, the David Spencer clip of the other week.
Lovely spoonerism.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. That's an interesting situation, you know, obviously.
I'll briefly reflect on last night. Well done to Liverpool. Much the better team, I think, helped really by, although individual errors and all that, as Jose said, there was one glaring individual error by him before the game even kicked off. Three at the back seemed very odd, very strange decision. Doherty's not been great on the right really since he came, so to stick him out on the left and hope for the best seemed odd when we had a fit left back and a fit right back. Aurier's been probably our best right back. He didn't have a great game last night, but hanging him out to dry, causing him to storm off before the end of the game, it's probably not the best way to manage it when the alternative has not been that great. I do feel for Doherty. He's a wing-back. We bought a wing-back and then never played with wing-backs, except when we do, we stick him on the left. Jose should have... I think why he went down the route he did. Alderweireld should have been playing and we should have had an extra man in midfield. But it's all water under the bridge now. Liverpool fully deserved it. They were at it. And we'll be chatting to... Paul Jiggins, who was at the game last night from both the Liverpool and Spurs perspective. But the natives are restless. And as Paul's going to tell us later on, if there was a crowd in that place, I think life would be very different at the moment. And maybe the chairman and the manager would get a bit of a feeling for the way a lot of people are looking at this team and wondering where we're at and where we're going.
Well, I think you could apply the same thing the other night at the Bridge where Chelsea kept the ball.
Do you want him out, Andy? Do you want him out?
No, not. I'll tell you what's interesting. Personally, me, I would have given Lampard to the end of the season. I can't see why they... Because let's face it, it's going to be hard for Chelsea to make top four, whatever happens. They're going to have to go on a tremendous run. Not impossible, but, you know. And I think he was about to make Gilmore and Mount... He should have done this weeks earlier. Gilmore and Mount, his sort of pivot in the middle of the sort of midfield, rather than who thinks that Jorginho and Kovacic are better than those two? They're not. And, of course, we kept the ball and kept the ball, but if there'd been a crowd there, they would have just... get on with it, get it forward. And the Chelsea Instagram feed is, I mean, I know that it's a club thing and it's got to be sort of pro the club, but it's ridiculous posts yesterday as if it was something to be proud of. Oh, 820 passes, like applause emojis. I said, you do realise, I put a comment in there, you do realise the idea is to get the ball in the net. It's called goals. That's how you win the game. You know, and we'll see though. It's one day. You can't give the bloke a hard time after one day's training.
I don't think you can.
No, he did the thing that you would do, which is pick the older players because they're going to give you less aggro if you pick them to start with. And then eventually he'll find out who his best players are. He'll find out that Gilmore's better than Jorginho. He is. But I'm quite fascinated by the press attitude because obviously the press like Frank Lampard. He's a great English player and all that stuff. And they're really setting Tuchel up to fail. It's quite brilliant, really. First of all, they greeted him with the worst possible photo, like when he was doing that modelling in New York, like making him look a complete idiot.
Then it's... Looked like old man Steptoe, didn't he?
Then attribute to him some quotes that he doesn't really quite say. So, for example, Thomas Tuchel claims Chelsea can conquer the world with him in charge. He didn't say anything like that whatsoever. And then the next day, the bullish former Paris Saint-Germain gaffer has already claimed that Chelsea can dominate world football with the resources at their disposal. Never said that either. So it's like, let's put a false quote in and then say he said it again. It's madness. But that is our football press. They don't like the fact that Lampard's got the sack. I don't particularly like it either. And I tell you, one person who gets away with murder at Chelsea, and I've not heard anyone else say this, and I'm going to say it, probably get my season ticket taken away.
Oh, yeah, next time you go there to scan it in. Oh, there must be something wrong with it.
I think Marina Granovskaya has got away with absolute murder. I don't know how she gets away with it. Look at the players she's bought. If I'd bought players, if I'd wasted 70 million on Kepa, 70 million on Havertz, who basically, as far as I can see, all he does is you pass the ball to him, he pings it back to you twice as hard. That's it. He doesn't do anything else but that.
It's maybe like an exercise.
You've got Zappa Costa, Drinkwater. All these players have cost an absolute fortune, and there are more that she's absolutely wasted this money, and it's always the manager who takes the blame for it, who carries the can.
Definitely ticket not working next time you go back to the bridge.
Really, really. I think she's been getting away with a lot. And I hadn't noticed, actually, that the police say, the Sun today saying Blues transfer supremo is under scrutiny after a host of signings, and I think that's absolutely fair.
Well, you've just put her under the spotlight, Andy. Anyway, we want to bring some TV formats we wouldn't mind from you this afternoon if... Because, I mean, Elliot List, there he is. He's playing at Stevenage, playing in their midfield. Had a chance to score the other day. Didn't quite go in. Game ended 0-0 against Colchester. So maybe Elliot is starting to think, you know what, maybe I'll do a bit of telly instead. And with a name like List, L-I-S-T,
perfect, isn't it?
There's all sorts of gigs he could pick up in the world of TV. But he needs your help. Obviously, he needs you to pitch ideas to the broadcasters that can possibly get made. One of those might capture the imagination of a commissioning editor and suddenly... he's doing well. We're all doing well. We're because we'd want a piece of it as the conduit.
I've got one. I told you on the phone. Good. Yeah, Brahms and Liszt. It's a pub crawl with famous classical musicians.
Oh, that's nice. That would be good. Work quite well. Yeah, that would be good. Like sort of Julian Lloyd Webber, because he's a big Orient fan. He'd be good. Wouldn't he? The pubs of East London. Pubs around. Yeah. Sort of Wolfenstein.
You'd find one hoping.
Not at the moment. You could make it now. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Now, if we weren't in the midst of lockdown three, I wonder if any of us, or many of us, knew where we would be this evening were it not for the lockdown, if we were still free to go and do what we'd like. Probably we'd have a vague idea. But Andy Parsons, our next guest, a comedian, he knows where he would have been at the Plowright Theatre, Scunthorpe. On his tour of the country. I've just gone to the Scunthorpe Plowright Theatre. He's not on. It's been postponed, apparently.
I'm still waiting for Jose Feliciano.
Yeah, you are. You've got 2 years you booked those tickets. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, hello there.
Yes, do you look, you look down those dates?
I'm on some sort of delay here. I've got you on the headphones, but I'm still getting the adverts from about 5 minutes ago, I think. So I don't quite know what's going on with my technology, but I'm trying to multitask and trying to work out what I should be buying and listening to, as well as answer your questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. You're going to fantastic. You're going to get some marvelous tools, I would imagine, and or van insurance before
or
the end
of
the
brush.
Or a gutter brush. So yeah, Andy, we're just saying your tour. You were touring right throughout the year, weren't you? All the dates are there.
Yes, Healing the Nation. We got halfway through Healing the Nation, and. What a title that's worked out well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so, brilliant.
So yeah, it's going to be the longest tour ever, I think. It may take about 3 years to complete. So we'll look out for us coming to a venue near you, 2022.
Had you factored in some pandemic material as you were on the first part of Healing the Nation?
It's been written three times so far.
Right. Oh,
so you know, what's going to be interesting with this interview is when I start hearing myself answering this question in about 5 minutes' time.
It's a great discipline.
If I take the headphones off altogether, I can't hear what you're going to ask. So I'm in a bit of a loop at the moment. It's like some sort of Christopher Nolan film that I'm part of.
Well, we'll keep going because it could prove fantastic. Well, certainly when you're duetting. If you start singing London, let's do London's Burning Now. I'll get my recorder out. We'll start London's Burning Now, and in 3 minutes, we'll do it. Doing it in the round.
You've just introduced me again now, so it's going great. But the last thing your listeners want is me breaking into song, and then 3 minutes later trying to do a duet with myself.
Marvellous. So, what have you been up to in this terrible time?
Well, I'm joyous of homeschooling, which is why I've got only the one. I'm listening out for what trouble the 9-year-old is causing behind me. Right. So, 9 and 3-year-old. So, my wife working full time. So, it's nice to have an excuse to do something else.
What has the homeschooling entailed? Obviously, 9 and 3, they're a different target audience.
I've just heard you say good afternoon, Andy. So, is there a way that you can come back to me in very shortly after I've sorted out exactly what's going on in the headphones? Because it's very hard at the moment, and with lockdown, it's like you're close to being. As you can see, I'm in virtually a padded room as it is.
Yeah.
So I'll be going even more in that direction if I've got myself coming in both ears.
We'll let you catch up, Andy. All right. We'll give you about sort of. I think it's probably about 40 seconds to a minute by the sound of it. I don't know how this has happened, but
if we reconnect with him, it should.
We'll do our bit. Andy, leave it with us. We'll work on it. So we'll try and get Andy Parsons back if we can. Although I thought that was working quite well. Actually, I like the idea of
making me
just
laugh. I thought
starting
it was very
the
funny.
Show. We'll find out about his homeschooling experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, now we've got a delay now.
Sorry, no, we haven't.
I thought we were on a delay.
I'm just
no,
waiting
we're
for
not.
You
okay.
to shock me.
Know, I mean, no, I'm not going to shock you at all. I've got a selection of readers' letters I've been collecting.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to say get well soon to Steve Cottrell,
who's
still in hospital with COVID.
I didn't realise you told me, Steve. Yeah. He's still in hospital. We spoke to Dave Edwards a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, around the Shrewsbury Cup game, and didn't realise he's still in. Yeah, we do wish him well.
Send him our best there. And this is a letter to the Star. So people are saying, you'd think in these times people would be a bit nicer, wouldn't you? Be kind and all that. This book's written, why does Bobby Davro think he's so special? If he's skinned, he should get off his backside and get down the job centre, says Jimmy Peters.
Wow. You know,
these people, they've got no heart, have they, really?
Well, I think you're on some fairly rocky ground, some of the stuff you've said over the years.
Plenty of heart. Did you, what else have we got? Did you see those? That's right. Our old friend Cardi B. I don't know if you saw her the other
she's
day.
Not, by the way, if listeners are just tuning in, she's not our old friend. We've never met her before. We think her choice of knitwear is it's sort of a touch older style-wise than you'd expect. But we don't, neither of us have met Cardi B. She's not been on the show as far as I know. I think I would have remembered. She'd come in. Maybe she came on one day with a former West Ham and Arsenal midfielder Stuart Robson, and we just didn't notice.
She did the fools panel.
Yeah,
she was the other day. She was wearing a see-through dress, not a cardigan.
Okay,
and I discovered that her husband is Offset, known as Carbon Footprint in the dressing room. I've never heard of him, but there we go.
Offset. Everybody knows that she's called that because she has a different cardigan for every day of the week. But rather than saying she just chooses them from alphabetically, so on a Sunday. She'll wear Cardi A, and on a Monday she'll wear Cardi B. So a lot of people don't know that.
No, who
Cardi C on a Tuesday, and then you get the idea of that. Anyway, I think we can go back to Andy Parsons, who's no longer hearing himself 5 minutes ago. Hello, Andy.
Yes, I'm good. I'm good now. Everything is absolutely sorted. I've had a little wash down. The padded walls have worked fine. And I'm back with you on just once.
What had gone? Do you know what went wrong for anybody who finds himself in a mad sort of Zoom loop? Like, what happened? Do you know what happened?
I think what I needed was Brad Pitt to come along and chuck some water on my face as I fell backwards into a bath. And then I was going to be absolutely fine.
It was going to work. So you were telling us about the joys of homeschooling. I mean, has it proved difficult?
Yeah, well, it was one. The highlight so far is definitely getting online star of the week for the maths. 9-year-old, very proud.
I thought you meant you. I thought a man in his 40s. Well, he's going to make a crow about it.
That is sort of how I took it. It's nice to know that I can do maths to the level of a 9-year-old. I'll be honest, he often does very little. I find it's much quicker if I do it myself.
Yeah, I don't think that's the idea. But his grades will go up.
It's at least
certainly part
of the idea. He had a happiness one. Today, right? His word today was happiness, and he had to write a poem, right? And I said, well, what's the topic you're supposed to be doing? He said, happiness. And I said, what would make you happy? He said, no, not doing the poem at all. So that's what we agreed. That was his happiness task.
You can't argue with the logic, can you? He's a bright lad, clearly.
Has the school said to you that when they're going back, or is it sort of could be any time?
The schools would love to know. If the government could give them a slightly better steer on that, I'm sure they'd be very happy. Yeah. But we know, the thing is, you can't even put a date in the diary because it's going to be February the 22nd or whatever. Now it's March the 8th, but you saw the small print, it's from March the 8th. So, you know, any time after March the 8th still fits that criterion.
Now, Andy, I did see on your social media just before Christmas that you'd like to think if you go for a test or whatever for COVID, you want it to be in a fairly sort of beige, grey, slightly clinical-looking building. But they sent you off to Chessington World of Adventures for one, which seems cruel, I think.
It's not a good day trip. Yeah, car park C is not the car park you want at Chessington World of Adventures. Especially as what happened was the bloke suddenly got very excited that some bloke he knew was in the car showing him his tonsils, right? So he gave me, they're supposed to give you a little barcode so as they can then match it all up when when the tests come through. He got the barcodes completely mixed up. So I didn't get any results. So I had to self-isolate for the full 6 days. Then you're allowed to call up. So I called up and they said, oh, Mr. Parsons, we've got your results and we've got you. We just haven't been able to match the two because there was a muck up at the test centre. So then I said, well, how long is it going to take for these results to come through? And they said, Mr. Parsons, the last person we had who had exactly this problem got them through on the call whilst we were still talking to him. And they pinged the button and it came straight through. And he thought, that bloke at Chessington World of Adventures, if I ever go back, I'm going, don't muck this one up. That's an extra 4 days of my life. I'm not getting back because of that.
So it's you off Mock the Week and he was starstruck and he messed up. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, and obviously, I think I got an extra 15 seconds. I'm not sure he liked what I did on Mock the Week. He was there with the old tonsil stick giving it a good old run around.
Oh, dear me.
I went to Twickenham Stadium for mine.
Did you really?
Test. Yeah. And
it's a lot of gates to go through there. That is a long old way.
But the bloke didn't know, even though I'm on TalkSport, he didn't know who I was. So there you go.
Oh, well, see, you've not been on telly on a regular basis.
You talked to him and moan about Chelsea for a bit, and then he'd have known.
As soon as he'd heard your voice moaning, saying he's got to go, he would have known by then. Have you been watching much sport, Andy? Have you taken much sport in?
Oh, it's been a godsend, hasn't it? The cricket. Oh, I've been absolutely... Joe Root just batting beautifully. And, that's been lovely bit of Sri Lanka. I've been missing that. But got Six Nations to look forward to, so that'll keep me interested. And then, obviously, a bit of the Indian tour, which may not be quite as successful as the Sri Lanka tour.
I think the fatigue it's taking its toll. I see a bit of research today from University College London saying 4 in 10 people are now exercising less than they did in the first lockdown. They spoke to 70,000 people. They're watching more TV and films, playing more online games.
Isn't that just the blatantly obvious? It's January.
Yeah, of course, you know, of course.
It's icy. Hmm. Who's doing that study and thinking it's worthwhile?
UCL, you could say, shouldn't they be at work? But it's true. They said, but funny enough, maybe flying in the face of that, they've said a third have admitted they've reduced their involvement in hobbies. So I think the fatigue is telling this time, isn't it? You can tell there is a real lockdown fatigue.
You know, all these people going, oh, I'm doing crochet now, I'm tidying up my garden. Literally, if you've got any spare time as a parent over these lockdowns, you are just spending it in some sort of darkened room trying to find your happy place. There is absolutely no way that you're suddenly going, oh, I need to learn Spanish. That's what is going to happen over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Now, finally, Andy, the tickets for the gigs, are they, you can still book them in the hope that, what's the situation at the moment for when you get back on the road?
Well, half people have already booked them in, brilliantly. Most people have still, got their tickets from whenever it was supposed to be last year or whatever. And every time they see it's rescheduled, they'll go, oh, well, that's a date we'll put in our diary, but we won't mark it in pen because we're pretty certain that in pencil we've got a chance of reissuing it. But I guess there is now at least you would hope. He said the first time around, he said we'll be through the worst by Easter, and he was sort of right, but old Boris got the wrong Easter, sadly. But now we can hopefully let us suggest that maybe come obviously the social distancing, that's the trouble, isn't there? So at the moment, if it comes back with social distancing, given that you've already sort of two-thirds sold a venue, social distancing isn't going to work. So you sort of need it to the social distancing to stop, and it's a guess as to when that's going to happen. But let us hope by the summer we are back full-time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy, you got a very welcome communication today, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Who from?
You were telling me about it this morning, weren't you? Something you've got to go on Sunday, or don't you want to discuss
it? Oh,
that?
Sorry. The old memory's gone. That's
yeah, I think
worse
it's
than
not
you.
Good. The old memory's got worse, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like
it's
an
important... I don't mind admitting
it. Not an important thing or anything, is it?
No. I got the call about the vaccine today, so I've got to nip down to the health centre on Sunday
doing
afternoon.
Legoland? I mean, is it around your part of the world? No?
No, it's at the health centre, and they're quite strict there. I mean, so well, not unsurprisingly, they should be, yeah. If you're late, that's your bad luck. You'll miss it, and then, probably get called again in about 2023. Yeah. So I can't afford to miss it. And my wife had it while she was in hospital. She had the COVID. So fortunately, she was asymptomatic. I mean, blimey, it could have been very serious. So she has some antibodies. So it's important from her point of view that I get it done. So I think they sort of looked at it and thought, as a carer, I should. So,
they let you know which one you're having, Andy. They tell you which one.
No, they haven't said yet.
Oh, no, you'll have it written on a little card when you get there.
Oh, when I get it, will they?
Yeah, okay, they will. And you can decide that you don't get a choice.
Oh, the one that doesn't work on old people. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no, don't buy into that. That theory's been, who knows? It depends who you, but anyway, don't worry about
that. I'm grateful to be receiving it.
It's all good news.
Grateful to the health service. Now, you might like this survey, that boxing is the sport Brits are most likely to give up on, with 85% quitting within a month, a study found. You think, what sort of a study is that? One punch in the face will do it, won't it?
I mean,
that's it. Everybody does the same thing. They think, oh, boxing's good, I'll do boxing. And suddenly when you get hit, you suddenly think, oh, no, it's not so good, is it, this sport? But it is fun.
Again, it's a bit like that survey earlier on, because it's now in January. I mean, it's a bit of a common sense survey, isn't it? The sport you're going to give up, the one is one where you get physically hurt quite quickly and realise it's not a lot of fun. Have you seen Marcus Rocco, formerly a Manchester United. He's had a new tattoo done. Are you aware of this, Andy? Can you guess who it's of? If you can, unless you've seen the story.
Brooklyn Beckham.
No, it isn't. Have another guess. I just think it's Marcus Rocco. That may give you a bit of a clue.
Fred Adair, the famous
bloke who puts out fires on oil rigs. Why would a 30-year-old Argentinian...
Is red.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, sorry, yeah, Red Adair. Yeah. I thought you meant because he wore a Manchester United shirt. And we'll have another go, last one. Listeners can have a go. I'll leave a gap for this. Here we go. Almost certainly wrong, unless you've seen the story.
I can't possibly think. Who is it?
It's Diego Maradona. Dressed as Fidel Castro. That's the route.
Why not?
He's gone down. There was a famous portrait of Diego when he lived in Cuba, and Rocco was quite taken with it. So there it is. He's had it tattooed on his leg. So
it's incredibly unseemly, isn't it? All the stuff that's going on about.
Oh yeah, I mean, as we've said before, this whole thing, Diego, rest in peace. You think Chance will be a fine thing? This another love child has emerged. I don't know if you've seen this now. So somebody else could be in for a few.
And it's
quid.
all about the money. That's right. And so the headline in the Daily Star was "Hand of Wad." Quite good, "Hand of Wad." Hmm. But of course, they don't trust their readers at all. Maradona, who dumped England out of the 1986 World Cup with his infamous "Hand of God" goal. Yes, we know. You don't have to tell us.
We've been drawn to the headline. You have to work on the basis that we've got what the story's about. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been drawn to the headline. That's the way it tends to work.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The sporting telly, as always, is covered by squad number 9, overnight, king of overnights. huge in Ho Chi Minh City. He can't walk the streets there. We can fly there at the moment. It's Martin Kellner. Hi, Martin.
Hello there. Yes, I was hoping to do a road show there at the moment, but obviously can't.
Never happened to the road show. Be great. Martin, you should bring back the road show all around those parts of Asia where they love you.
I should. You're right. No, I've been watching a lot of stuff this week, Paul and Andy. Three documentaries, fairly important documentaries. Lance, which was on BBC Two last Sunday. It's an ESPN show, but they're showing it on BBC Two, so it's on the iPlayer. And I watched the first part of that. Tiger on Sky Documentaries, which is also a two-part documentary, and I was struck by the similarities in the stories of Lance Armstrong and Tiger Woods, in the fact that they both came from a sort of very dysfunctional family background, if you like. You know, as far as Lance Armstrong went, he never met his biological father, Terry Armstrong, who he had a very edgy relationship, bit of a disciplinarian, who's his first stepfather. Kelly, I've forgotten his first name, but he was his second stepfather. So he didn't really have anything to do with his father, yet his mother was, was hugely ambitious for him in the way that Tiger Woods' dad, Earl, was.
Yeah.
And as we know, it went further than ambition with Earl Jones. But we'll start with Lance anyway, and he says, "I'm going to tell my truth." Now, his truth is sort of slightly different from the truth that we all know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a great collection of witnesses that they had, you know, including his mother, Linda Armstrong Kelly, who looked a bit like an astronaut's wife. But she... it's a bit of a Woody Allen line, that one of his own movies.
I know exactly what you mean, though. So, we're with you.
Precisely. Yeah. In shorthand, everybody knows what it means when you say, "look like an astronaut's wife." Or indeed, a politician's wife in America.
Yeah.
Very much that sort of quite manicured look that she had.
Mm.
But at the point that the programme starts, she's being sued for taking sponsorship money while doping, you know, from the postal service there, who have the team in the Tour de France. They settle for, I think it's $5 million, which is actually about $95 million less than they were trying to get from him. But it goes through his whole life, and you see him as a little kid with Linda Armstrong Kelly, his mother, saying, golly darn, he was so cute. You know, people over here saying golly darn.
I get a lot of golly darns in the...
Martin, yes. I just want to ask you one thing. I haven't seen this particular documentary.
Oh, it's good. It's stuff a blistering about documentary.
Did you have sympathy for him afterwards? I find him a very unsympathetic character, but not everybody views it that way.
A hugely unsympathetic character. But at the end of it, we're only half the way through, so we've not come to a lot of the bad stuff yet. But I did pick up on one of the quotes from one of his teammates saying that because, it started in 1903, the Tour de France, and it was a very working class sport. And one of them said, I'm just trying to find the exact quote here. They said something like, yeah, because it's such a tough sport, people who go in for it are, it keeps, the toughness of the sport keeps everyone humble. So the riders, he said, are mostly quite humble. And then there's Lance, which sort of, you know, summed it up. But, you know, there is a history from the early days, you know, before, obviously, with the technological developments in drugs and everything, of people taking anything they could to, you know, try and get a step ahead of the others. It is very, very, very difficult.
I mean, that's part of the story, Mike. The other thing is, we've through doing this show, Andy and I have spoken to a lot of people that were on the receiving end of what was going on during all these periods of denial, when he would turn on people who dared to suggest that he was at it, and he was vile to them. And so I think that kind of plays into the story as well. It's not just what he did, it was the constant denials and the way he treated people who took him on.
Not a warm man at all. It was interesting. There was one of the writers from Sports Illustrated was sort of summing up the people who take part in the Tour de France. And he said, the Belgians, they're sort of a bit sneaky and clever. The Spanish are calm, humble, unpretentious. The Italians, a bit outrageous. The French, they're careful and feel themselves slightly superior. I thought it was a fantastic selection of national stereotypes there. And then he said, the Germans, guess what they are?
Are they functional or
not bad? Organized, structured.
Yeah, organized and structured. Yeah, he didn't buy any.
He said the Americans, just to sum this up, he said the Americans, of course, are different. They're weird because it's a European sport. So people who don't fit in, you know, they're not people who fit in, the American cyclists, because they've chosen to do a sport that's not part of American culture, it's part of European culture.
Yeah, it's a good point. Ali Ross agrees. He says it's the best sports documentary seen in ages. Well worth 3 hours of your time, he said in his column on Tuesday. So, I've got it downloaded, and I'll watch over the weekend. The Tiger one, said, again, I've got that ready to watch it. It does look very good. It's had very good reviews.
I think we're in a golden age of sports documentaries, quite honestly. Mm. And whether that's anything to do with lockdown or not, I don't know. But the, Tiger, another one, sort of very dysfunctional background. There's bits that I didn't know. I mean, we know all about Earl and how he, you know, he picked it from a very early age. We see him on a TV show when Tiger's 2 years old, sort of playing against Bob Hope in some TV show. But, you know, Earl says he knew from the very start Tiger was going to be a legend. But more than that, he's says that he will transcend this sport. He'll make the world a better place to live in, which to some extent he does if you're a golf fan. I mean, some of the shots that you see are just phenomenal, unbelievable. But the chief writer from Sports Illustrated, who started writing about Tiger from a fairly early stage, and obviously got very little material out of Tiger, thank God for his dad. He said he loves to drink and he loves to talk, and his quote was that he was chosen by God to nurture this young man and bring him to the point where he could make his contribution to humanity. So it was always much more than just golf as far as Earl Woods went.
Yeah,
Earl Woods, yeah.
Yeah, Earl Woods, his dad. But also, you see, with the dysfunctional thing, you had almost the opposite thing from Lance, whereas Lance sort of know his parents. Earl was with him every step of the way and tried playing with his head to make him better and all that. But at the same time, one of Earl Jones's friends who played him at the golf club said he would go along in his Winnebago, which is a motor vehicle much favoured by the Americans, large motor vehicle. And he would be on the golf course and he would be with young ladies in the back of his Winnebago. Ooh. And Tiger was...
Who, Earl Jones or Earl Woods? I'm getting confused.
Sorry, Earl Woods.
Don't bring Earl Jones in. Poor old Earl Jones, having his name dragged through the mud in the Winnebago. Yes. Mrs. Jones. Just very quickly, Martin, because it's very... that one's on Sky Documentaries. The BBC have got Lance. Michael Richards tackling racism. I mean, obviously very timely in light of what's subsequently happened since he made that show.
Absolutely. It's a great show as well. You know, they warn you at the start, there's strong language and racist language. You've only got to wait about 20 seconds for that, because he recounts what some coppers said to him in Chapeltown in Leeds, which is where he's from. And also, I mean, we know what's happened. There were all sorts of incidences. A bit it does with Andy Cole, who tells him about when his dad arrived from Jamaica, went to the place where he was going to get fixed up with a job or whatever, and they said, no, you can't come in. This is to Andy Cole's dad. You can't come in, but you can leave your bag. And as Andy Cole said, you know, my bag was welcome. My bag was allowed into the house, but I wasn't. And there's sort of, you know, they go through incidents like that. And, you know, if it's not already been brought home to you, just how damaging to a whole generation this sort of institutional racism, just casual racism, was. It sums it up, actually, especially in the conversations with Andy Cole. My only caveat with this programme is few too many sort of well-worn talking heads from Kick It Out and those various organisations, which, you know, it's vital work that they do, but we have seen them in a lot of TV shows. I would have liked more of more of Andy Cole and Gary Neville and people that he did, that he knew and obviously had a bit of a relationship with. Yeah. It's sounds a great program, an important program.
Yeah, sound good, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, time to look at the world of American sports, as always, with Todd Macklin. Hi, Todd.
Hey, boys.
Sad story, this. Hank Aaron, who broke the home run record and took it from the great Babe Ruth, died this week, aged 86. And reading some of the obits, I knew some of his story, Todd, but it's quite shocking, again, in light of what's gone on this week in the world of football over here. The amount of racist abuse he took as he got closer and closer, because he was a black player, obviously, and it got closer and closer to breaking Babe Ruth's record. And I think in Cooperstown, in the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, they've kept some of the letters and some of the vile letters that were sent to him, you know, threatening his life. You know, it's terrible stuff, because they didn't want to see Babe Ruth's record broken by a black man.
Yeah, and he handled all that racism, plus the pressure of becoming the all-time home run king, with such grace and dignity. And that's, I think, the two common words that kind of stood out as people eulogized Hank Aaron over the last few days. Is, yeah, he was a great player and maybe one of the greatest in the game's history to be able to combine the ability to hit home runs with the ability just to hit the ball. But it was the grace, the class, the dignity that he showed through everything, just the awfulness of the racism that he received. I think increases the stature that we look and put Hank Aaron on. And listen, I think me and a lot of people still consider him the all-time baseball home run king because of Barry Bonds' legacy is tainted with performance-enhancing drugs. And Hank Aaron's isn't. So I will put my hand up and say, for me, he is the home run king.
And Hank Aaron, again, he showed great dignity and grace there, because there was this asterisk against Bonds' name. Yet when Bonds broke the record, he went and saw him, was on the pitch, wasn't he? And was very supportive as well. And he could have just turned his back on him. That wasn't what he was like.
No, absolutely not. And you're right. And it would have been easy for him to make the comments that, hey, you know, Barry isn't the guy. But again, it just wasn't who he is. And even in the toughest times, he stayed true to himself. And again, that's how you measure a human being, is being able to do that. Mm.
Well, he finally got home run 715 in Atlanta against the Dodgers in April 1974. And this was a moment. The Dodgers radio announcer, Vin Scully, was a bit of a legend himself. This is how he called the moment.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country
the
and the world.
Jacobs Daily
a black
podcast.
Man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Yeah, great stuff, Todd.
Yeah, great commentary.
Legendary. To have that legendary moment called by Vin Scully, the legendary guy, like, you just don't forget those moments. Podcast. And it just, I thought he captured it perfectly with kind of, you know, talking about what Hank Aaron had to go through to become the king of home runs in baseball.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There's loads of sport on this weekend, but there may be some gaps in your viewing. I allow you to watch the non-sporting stuff in here to guide you through that. Although I know full well, like me, on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, he'll be watching some football. It is Brighton supporting Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon, guys.
Yes, our teams go head-to-head this weekend. Say, Dr. Tottenham comes calling for a team that have not won at home all season. How are you feeling about it, Mike?
I'd like a goal.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's all I ask. It's not asking a lot, is it?
I mean, you were quite lucky the other day, weren't you, against the one cleared off the line in the game against Fulham the other day?
It is genuinely frustrating because we are actually, I mean, it's ridiculous to say, we are playing brilliantly a lot of the time and our actual football, apart from the actual goal-scoring bit, is really encouraging, but it's kind of important, an element of the game that I think is can't underestimate the significance.
Well, I don't think you'd be a fool to. I think you do it at your peril, Mike.
I do, yeah. So, it's frustrating, but I just think we have to stay strong.
Yeah, indeed.
My wife's listening to this bit because it's her favourite part of the show.
Oh, that's very kind.
The non-sporting bit.
Yeah. The non-sporting bit. Yeah. So don't talk about football.
The guy who knows nothing about football comes on.
Yeah. So, let's kick off tonight on Amazon Prime Video, new from today, The Great Escapist. This is Richard Hamill.
Richard Hamill.
I'm a big fan of Richard Hamill. Yeah. So it's Arthur, Stanley Unwin's take on the... on Top Gear. Richard Hammond, of course.
Yes, he's normally associated with the Grand Tour and Top Gear before that. Yeah, he's doing this. The other part of Richard Hammond on TV is this kind of pop science kind of stuff he's done on things like, was it Brainiac or something or other like that? Various other shows he's done because he's fascinated by that kind of thing. So this is him and a guy. I'm probably being a bit thick here because I'm not really that familiar with Mythbusters, the American show of a entirely dissimilar nature, hosted by this guy Tori Belici. But basically, these two blokes, there's a couple of middle-aged blokes stuck on allegedly stranded on a remote Pacific island and having to make do with whatever they can find, including the stuff from the shipwreck itself, to survive, get by, and it's kind of, it's, they play heightened versions of themselves, as I think it's put in these situations. I kind of think that it's one of those things, if you enjoy the idea of the sort of bickering element of the Grand Tour, where they try and make a car do something on water skis or something or other, if you're into that and it's fun, you love it, and if you find it a bit irritating, you probably not enjoy it.
Very, very good line from you in your preview. It's that increasingly strained relationship which gives the series its narrative arc, although obviously a real arc might have proved more handy.
I like that. To be perfectly honest, the only reason I even wrote the whole piece was to get that in at the end. The rest of it, just skip.
Sounds very good.
Skip
and ultimately, if you're going to see it through as a series, one of them would eat the other one, which is not great entertainment, is it really?
Well, you say that.
Yeah, but who will it be? Anyway, what else we got for you tonight? Bob Mortimer, oh mate, he's on. Would I Lie to You? I imagine he'll be on good form.
Would I Lie to You? I know I bag on about the show, but I do love it. I just think it is consistently funny, and as I said before, it's one of those shows where it gets to the end, you think, oh, I want more. And Bob Mortimer, it's like sometimes the show is made for him because his flights of fantasy are very much part flights of. Fancy, whatever, are very much part of his comedy, aren't they? And so he just does it with such panache. Brilliantly tonight, one of his claims is that he once helped Damon Hill to Grand Prix success by presenting him with a pre-race Scotch egg.
Wow. Face of it, it doesn't sound like...
I'm not going to give anything away. I wouldn't want to spoil the surprise.
Okay, good. That sounds good.
The last of win... Oh, yeah, 9 o'clock. The Last of Winter Watch, which I saw last night, and it's been good. And I think the thing about it that's very interesting, they did this thing where they decided that if you actually, you don't even need to be in nature, if you just see films of nature,
yes,
it
watch
actually
Emmerdale.
Has the same effect.
Gives you a lift. Does it really?
I actually do believe that. When I used to watch a lot of soaps, it was always Emmerdale I used to look forward to having to sit through five episodes of, because I thought, at least it's outdoors. You know, at least you're getting a lot of scenery. So there is something strangely true about that. I have to admit, I haven't watched that much of Winterbourne. I do like, there's a lot of things, oh, this is the, you know, because of everything that's going on at the moment, we've all discovered nature. And I'm sort of thinking, well, kind of knew it was there already, in all honesty. So I think they're overdoing that stretch. But there's a bit tonight about Megan McGubbin, who, of course, is...
Chris Packham. His stepdaughter.
She's doing a piece on slugs and how important they are to the ecosystem. Mind you, Chris Packham, I had a conversation when I did an interview with him once about wasps. And he argued very much strongly in favour of wasps.
You were anti-wasp, were you?
Well, I just said, what is the point of wasps? And his answer was, what is the point of you?
Probably not messing
well,
about.
That's fair enough, really.
He did it with a glint in his eye.
It sounds like your opening set when you're doing stand-up. What is the point of wasps? I mean,
Do wasps have a point? That's an interesting question.
We're not going to dwell on it.
Let's not.
Now, Saturday night, I mean, it's Casualty, but they're having one of their big set-piece additions, aren't they? Which they do every so often when they want to kill off a couple of characters.
Every so often. Yeah, the funny thing is, the Casualty, and Holby next week has got a drama as well. So, it's like as if they haven't got enough on their plates right now. This bloke walks into theatre in Casualty tomorrow night and he opens his jacket. He refuses to take his jacket off and they think, wonder why that is. And why is there in the first place is secondary. And he's basically got a waistcoat made of explosives.
The level of security
at
Holby is quite poor, isn't it? Really, considering. Everyone just wander in with an explosive waistcoat and nobody bothers to check.
On the plus side, he is standing at least 2 metres away from everyone. So
fair play. Oh,
thank goodness. Yes. That'll make all the difference.
So that's 8:50 Saturday on BBC One. ITV Football Classics.
Yes.
If live football's not enough for you, watch some old football. Oh. I won't be watching this because it's the 1987 Cup final.
If you don't want to know the result,
Spurs
away.
And Cov. And I've watched one Spurs defeat this week. I may be watching one on Sunday.
I don't think you will.
It's been Saturday evening watching another one that I was at.
Might I suggest you should watch it because you're going to have a lovely Sunday evening. So I think, you know, the very least you could do.
Wow.
Is
that's ITV 4,
7 p.m. 7 o'clock Saturday night,
On Sunday night, Dancing on Ice. It's musicals week, of course it is.
Isn't it always?
Denise Van Outen's had to drop out. She did the shoulder, didn't she?
I have three bones fractures as well as a partial dislocation she apparently put on Instagram or whatever. So she had to pull out. She was strapped up, heavily strapped up, and it was always touch and go. But yes, she's been replaced by Olympic gymnast Amy Tinkler. Oh. And her pro skater partner, Joe Johnson. I don't know Joe Johnson.
No,
quick mention for Grayson's Art Club. I think it's the best lockdown program that we had. Yeah.
So they're coming back, aren't they? I bet they didn't want to have to come back initially. No. But obviously, yes, they're coming back. And they're sort of giving people some tips. And that, you know. So this is kind of like this is Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Channel 4. And it's kind of a sort of warm-up for when the series returns and giving some people some tips. And I think probably specifically for you, Andy. So this time around, you know, they will accept your entry. And you will get an exhibition of your own, I'd imagine.
And a mention for a new drama, Channel 5, 9 p.m. Monday to Thursday next week.
Yeah,
be a quick one on this, mate.
Yeah, very quickly. It's Jill Halfpenny. She plays it's an abduction drama. It's utterly preposterous, but yet gripping, I would say.
Brilliant. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy will be back alongside me on Monday. And don't forget, the Clips of the Week podcast is available as a separate podcast from wherever you got this one. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.